metaphorically, although it does sometimes happen physically, can poo on us a little bit. I mean, if you've ever been pooed on by a bird or a human, it's not a great experience, is it? It's really not a great experience. But sometimes life kind of metaphorically poos on us. To quote, people are giving me, Katie's giving me a look of what is happening. But to quote a great thinker of the late 90s, early noughties, life is a roller coaster. We just have to ride it. Thank you, Ronan Keating. I mean, that's kind of true, isn't it? Life has its moments of ups, and it has its moments of downs. And it has its moments of corkscrews, where you're not sure if you're up or down. And sometimes those up periods can be long, and sometimes they're short. And sometimes the down periods are long, and sometimes they're short. And we each find ways to deal with these things, don't we? I am very much I eat my emotions, whether I am happy, whether I'm sad, whether I'm upset or angry or stressed, I eat them. I eat a lot, mainly chocolate. It's amazing. So when I was a child, you know those little bags of Dairy Milk buttons, the ones that are about this big? That was a sufficient snack. Now I can easily demolish in one sitting a sharing bag of giant buttons from the freezer. That's the best place to get them from. Just very easy. And I have a hate-love relationship with food in that I hate how much I love it. And all that it really means is that I just have to buy slightly bigger size clothing and wear a lot of floaty clothing so you can't tell what's going on underneath it. And who knows? But it doesn't really solve any of the issues. But we read in this book, and we heard it in our reading today, that there is something which does comfort us in those times when maybe life is a little bit of a down of a roller coaster, when maybe things aren't going so well. And we read that, and we read that it's God. And I don't know if you believe that's true or not. I mean, I certainly believe that's true because I've seen it happen. I've seen times when they've been very big downs in life, and the only thing that seems to have lifted me back up or helped me is God. I'm reminded of the story of the storm on the lake, and Jesus is sleeping, and the storm is going on around, and the disciples are like, "What is going on? How on earth is he having a nap?" And Jesus wakes up, and he calms the storm. But what I note about that story is, Jesus doesn't get rid of the water. He doesn't leave them on a dust bed. The water is very much still there. And I'm sure there have been storms since on that lake. I mean, I don't know, I'm not a meteorologist. But I imagine that's probably happened. And from that I learned that maybe actually God doesn't always eradicate our problems. And many of us will know that's true, but he does help us endure them. And I've been thinking about this word comfort. And in our John reading, we read that Jesus is at the Last Supper. This is the last time with his friends. And he gives them a gift. He says, "A gift I leave with you is peace, peace of mind and of heart." And if you look up the definition of peace and of comfort, they're remarkably similar. And in that, Jesus says that this is a gift which I give you, which is a million times better than anything in the world. Nothing in the world can give you the peace like I can give you. I think that's pretty awesome. Check the notes, because I've forgotten where I'm going next. Ah, yeah. But this isn't the first time that Jesus has talked about peace. Because earlier, when he's doing his big Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, because they shall be called children of God." And there are going to be seasons of our life where what we need is comfort, and what we need is peace. But there are also going to be times in our life when actually, maybe we're doing okay, and maybe it's our job to bring the peace, to bring the comfort to other people. I like the term peacemaker, because the term peacemaker is not the same as peacekeeper. Peacekeeper implies that peace is already there, whereas a peacemaker might have to go into a situation where there is no peace whatsoever. and bring it. And that's part of why, actually, sometimes following Jesus is not comfortable, why it's not easy, why actually it can be very difficult, because we're not necessarily called to a life of comfort. Sometimes we're called to step outside of our comfort zone, but bring God's comfort with us. I'm really encouraged by an amazing peacemaker that I recently read the story of. And I may have shared this story with some people here before, but I love it so much that I can't not share it again. A little girl in Japan in the 1940s. Many of us will know what the Americas did to Japan in the 1940s and some bombs that they dropped on Japan. This little girl ended up from the radiation getting leukemia. And as she lay in a hospital bed, her father reminded her of an old Japanese custom, which is to make peace cranes. So you fold up the origami and you make a peace crane. And it was a Japanese custom that if you make 1,000 peace cranes and like string them on one long line, you get good luck. That's like a really great thing to do. It's kind of a bit like maybe us praying. She got to something like 664 and she passed away. And as a sign of love for her, her friends and her family completed the 1,000 in time for her funeral. But her brother kept 5 of the ones that she had made, little red peace cranes, and he kept them. It was many, many, many years later when America itself was attacked, 9/11, that this man decided he would send one of those peace cranes to the people of America. Wow. And other people did as well. Other people from Japan sent peace cranes in their thousands to the people of New York, to the people of America. From one group of people that knew what it was to need comfort and to have received it. Seeing neighbors, the other side of the world, putting aside differences and going, they need what we had. It's our job to send it. Wow. I mean, that gets me every time, that a brother was so willing to sacrifice something, kind of one of the last acts that his sister did, and give it to the hands of the people that did that to her. I don't necessarily know if they were motivated by God or by God's love to do that, but I like to look for him in those kind of stories and go, maybe he was behind that. And I read in this book all sorts of amazing people who do things like that. And in this book, I see no excuse for us to be a people who bring hate. I see no excuse for us to be people who bring judgment, who bring sorrow, who make people weep, who make people need comfort. That's not what I read in this. But in this book, I read that it's our job to, I mean, first of all, receive the love of God for ourselves, to be touched by him, to be open to have our lives transformed by him. And then when the season's right, maybe, and it may not always be the right season, but when the season is right, for us to be people that carry that outside, for us to be bringers of God's love, bringers of God's grace, and most definitely bringers of God's peace to our homes, to our streets, to our neighborhoods, to our workplaces, to our schools, to our colleges. And that might not always make us comfortable, but I would much prefer to be comforted than comfortable. We're going to lead right into a time of prayer now. And one of the first things we can do, I think, is be people that pray for peace. It's going to go like this. I'm going to ask you a question, and I really hope your answers to these questions are going to be no. All right? If you think the answer in your head is yes, see me afterwards. Okay? I want to hear the no, okay? Because in the second part of the passage, in the Corinthians passage, it talked about how we need to be people that say yes when we mean it and we say no when we mean it. We don't say yes when we actually mean no. We don't say no when we actually mean yes. So we're going to go through a series of statements, which I hope you're going to say no to. And I'm going to wrap all those statements up in a prayer to pray for them all. Do we want to see a world full of war and conflict? Good. Do we want to see a world where more people live in poverty than don't? Do we want to see a world where terrorists have the freedom to strike fear in the heart of nations?
No.
Do we want to see a world where our loved ones are crippled by ill health?
No.
Do we want to see a world where people don't have enough to live on, to eat, to feed their families?
No.
Do we want to see a world where families are torn apart?
No.
The answer to this next one is amen, okay? Just to warn you. Don't say no to this. I hope not anyway. Father God, we know that only you can bring a peace that sustains. Only you can bring comfort that really sustains. Father, we think now of places, of people, of situations local to us that need a touch of you. We think of situations nationally that might need a touch of you. We think of situations globally that might need a touch of you. And in our own lives, Father, we offer you the things in our own hearts where we seek and we need peace. Father, all we ask is for your peace to be brought, your will be done, your love to be given, your grace to be overspilled. And Father, help us to be people that also bring peace to the places we work, we go, we are, we live, we're at. Amen.